Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, brothers and sisters, I think I'm going to go ahead and get this show started, guys. What's up, Curtis Gatewood? What's up, Robert Gatewood? What's up, Joseph Gatewood?
Hey, Curtis. Hey, what's going on?
How you brothers doing, man?
Hey, man, we're doing great. We're doing great. Hopefully all is well on your end.
Quite well, sir. Quite well. Busy time. And when you're doing that We Matter work, it gets busy out here, bro. Man.
Is Sister Danielle on yet?
Yeah, Sister in the house, man. She's not live yet. She's in the house. I'm excited about that, of course. I'll see you all too. Check this out, man. That is Sky, man. That is Sky. You remember Sky, man? When the guy was out, you were the DJ, I was the road.
Yeah, yeah, Sky. Yeah, we were probably still at LC.
Oh, there we go. I was carrying the secret for you.
They had that one called High, too, man. I used to like that. You remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, they had about four or five good ones to come out back to back.
Yes, sir. They did.
Ladies
and gentlemen, welcome to the brother. I'm sorry, Perry.
No problem. I was just saying I haven't seen the unsung on them. You know, doing unsung on some of the groups that might have been hot, but they're missing, and they show you what might have happened to cause the group to deteriorate. You know,
yeah. I was watching that on Punks the other night, man. It's disheartening.
Yeah, man. Woo.
all that good funk down the drain. Well, they still playing, though, you know?
Yeah,
they still at it, bro.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Brother Career Radio Show. I'm the host of this show. The Marketing Toolkit International producer. I have a couple of brothers on, maybe three brothers on the line tonight. Robert, Curtis, and Joseph Gatewood. Thank you guys for coming out tonight, man. We're going to really get started with a little conversation here. You know how we do it. This is how we do it. Also tonight, we're very excited to have Danielle Brown back with us. We had her on a couple of times before, but I'm not gonna say but. And so much has happened since then. So much powerful success has happened since then. You know, while we always ready to bring her in. Hold up, man. Who's calling?
There ain't no COVID in here.
All right. You know.
There ain't no COVID in here.
All right. All right. What I wanted to say is every year about this time, guys, well, let's say at least 6 years, I mean, 6 years ago about this time, I was sitting here throwing grilled chicken legs at my TV because of the way the Super Bowl was going with the Panthers and the Broncos, was it? Peyton Manning, that crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I was totally
frustrated.
Totally throwing chicken. You know, if I throw my grilled chicken legs, it was terrible. And this year, just about the same time, I was throwing grilled shrimp at my TV. And some people would wonder why grilled shrimp. Well, that's because the grilled chicken leg broke my TV. So I had to go with something a little lighter. But I had to throw something. So I was throwing grilled shrimp at my TV.
That was pretty good food there, buddy.
Yeah. That's how frustrated
I
was.
I should have been over there near that TV with my mouth.
Dude, man. next Super Bowl, I'm going to be standing in front of your television.
Grilled shrimp.
We'll stand out there next week.
Jeez.
Next week and play a replay.
Yeah, you better throw some cereal or something, boy.
Well, no, hold on. The reason I was throwing shrimp, brothers, because after I threw the grilled chicken legs up there last time in 2006 or whatever it was, 2016,
mm-hmm.
They broke my TV screen, so I had to get something a little lighter.
You better find you some paper.
You better get a tougher TV, man. That might help. Get you a stronger television set.
Ball up paper, man.
Some biscuits. Throw some rolls or something up there.
Popcorn. Popcorn. How about that, man? Throw popcorn.
Yeah. Popcorn. Marshmallows. No meat.
Since you know you have a history of throwing objects at the TV during the game, you might set the stage a little differently. Get you some marshmallows in one hand, some popcorn in the other. Move the TV back a little bit, maybe. Since you have a history, so we can fix this. We can fix this.
All right.
Eat all the chicken and shrimp before the game.
Yeah, don't put any food near it.
Eat all the chicken and shrimp before the game.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you, brother, working with me. I needed some help.
Hey, here's one you might not have thought about, Leon. Pick a winning team before you start. How about that?
Well, I thought I had. I'm about to throw something at the computer.
Robbie can't do much better than picking the defending champion. So
that's pretty good. You're right. Yeah, that's pretty safe. TV's pretty safe under those circumstances.
You just might not know they have to play the referees too, but you know, that's that. But
all right, man. I just want the crown above the shoulder, man. I'm sorry.
Hey, no, your crying is well received, brother. And highly understand.
I throw one more thing at you, Leon.
Yes, sir.
I'm not a fan of this dude, but that darn Tom Brady is a hard guy to vote to bet against. So keep your chicken and your shrimp away if he's playing. I'm just saying. I don't care for the guy that much, but I'm saying he's a tough one to vote against. Keep your chicken, your bowling balls, your chews or whatever away from the TV if Tom Brady's on the team that you're rooting for. I'm just saying.
All right.
That guy like a machine.
I knew y'all could help me. I appreciate it.
All right, we did what we do, man. We do what we do.
Let me tell you something, Leon, to give you make your mic feel a little better.
Yeah.
I sent you a picture of one of our NCCU alums holding up that Super Bowl trophy.
I did. I saw it.
Ryan Smith, he started with Tampa Bay back in 2016, and he just, you know, renewed his contract with Tampa Bay, so he's bona fide. He's been on that team for 5 years and just signed a new contract. And, of course, another thing might make you feel better, the entire coaching staff, except the head coach, those are brothers. Defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, the special team coach. All them was Afro Americans back there.
Man, I didn't think about the team. I didn't think about
that thing.
Was great.
That might be good, and it might be bad. Why you can get all of them to be under the white coach.
I didn't understand. I didn't think anybody was on the team with Brady. But look, we're going to talk about that later.
Probably,
I got to call Ms. Brown so we can get, because she's a busy lady. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to have to stop that conversation. We'll come back to it because I really am upset. But,
yeah.
Joseph, I understand how you feel. You have that ego pride that's amplified. I understand that. It's even more amplified now. I understand that. I get
man, that. But they cheated, man. They cheated.
Okay, let's
get
not get
to
it.
The
hold
real
on, hold
deal.
On, hold on, hold
on. When you get back, we'll talk about how they cheated, man.
Okay.
All right. We're going to come back to that. Ladies and gentlemen, I've had the pleasure of working over the past few years with an organization called Black Voters Matter. Natasha Brown and Cliff Albright, the founders, some of the most dynamic people that you'll ever meet. They've been in my hometown, man. That's just amazing right there. They have been here. They came to Wadesboro, North Carolina, through the woods, through the back roads, down Highway 145. They were scared they weren't going to come get down here, going through these woods and stuff like that. But Danielle Brown got them here, brother. And not only that, they came on the big bus. The big bus. Not the little bus, the big bus.
Well,
not that the little bus didn't come too, but the big bus.
Well,
yes. So we've invited her back, and she has graciously accepted our invitation to come back, spend a little time with the brothers tonight. So we're going to bring her in. Danielle Brown, how are you doing tonight?
Good evening. I am great. I'm absolutely positively wonderful, even after the worst Super Bowl ever. Yeah. Thank you.
The worst.
I bet she had some shrimp thrown on her TV, a leg or two.
No, I just cut it off. I was like, I don't want to see this no more. I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm not
going to
waste
really
good, valuable shrimp. Ain't going to nobody doing that.
There you go. That's my girl. All right.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I had to walk away myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, but thank you. Don't leave the eagle pride alone for a minute. The eagle is pride. Amplified. He's amplified. And I understand that, Joseph. Your pride is amplified.
So we're not going to leave
that alone for a minute. Just a minute. But we're coming back. Danielle.
Yes.
What is going on? What in the world is going on with these black voters, these black voting people?
Well, a lot of them think that, you know, it's time to sit down and be quiet, but it's more than that. Right now it's time. This is the time where you need to be really loud. So we're working on, one, just making sure folks are right. You know, we can't be black and not have 50,000 million things going on. So we just want to make sure, one, folks are okay. You know, so that's part of the work that we're doing. You know, we here in North Carolina, we did not, you know, we We didn't lose the election last year. I'll tell anybody that. We did not lose in 2020. We just didn't get the results that we wanted. And the wins that we had in 2020 were a momentum among our Black community is like no other right now. So we've got a lot of people that are energetic and they want to know what to do. And we've got to find a place to harvest that energy and put it somewhere so we can do something with it. So right now we are pushing folks to say, you know, just check on your brothers and sisters and make sure they're good. Make sure they are right. Make sure they know that they matter and that they are part of this process, because when it's all said and done, we need you here. We need you to be, you know, one, I told somebody on a COVID call this morning, we need you to be alive to be able to go to the polls in June and in November. So it's important that you just check on your brothers and sisters. Make sure they're good. Make sure they don't need anything. Make sure their children are good. You know, we got children, quote unquote, in school systems that are missing in action. Interesting. But that's because we're not checking on folks. You know, we need to make sure that people are okay. So we launched a We Matter campaign on February 1st, just in time for Black History Month, so that we can check on our communities and make sure that they know that they matter and that they are a part of this process.
Absolutely. You said something very powerful there about school systems. It is during this COVID, it is so important that we check on our school systems, check on our kids that are in this school system, make sure that our kids are reporting to class. I mean, we're in a situation now where there is no class. I mean, so you have to depend on a child to log onto a computer and go to class. A computer. Imagine that.
Yeah, Leon. Hello, Sister Danielle. This is Minister Curtis Gatewood. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, first I want to commend you on that attitude, because, and I wanted to reiterate or piggyback off what you were saying about making sure people are okay, because a lot of times people want to just come out and get or ask for what they want. Or if, like, for example, if people just want people to vote, then they just come out and say, you should vote. You know, people died for your vote and all that. I mean, we know that we're very familiar with that history, and it is, of course, imperative that they know. However, the love thing, the making sure people are okay, and to just make people feel like you care before we get into our business or what we want them to do, I think we could win a lot more people over if we first make sure people know this is not just about your agenda or my agenda, but how are you doing? And then let's make sure there are some other things that we can do to help to make sure you're okay. And I think that's how we can go into the process. But I appreciate you saying that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And people, that we have to understand that it, part of the work that we do, you know, we're a community. Black folks are, we are amazing. We are absolutely some of the most amazing folks that you'll ever meet. But our culture is rich. What we do is rich. And so we have to sometimes bring that out of folks, because we've been in a lot of spaces have been beaten down so much, even among each other, that we need to. One, just say, hey, you know what, let's take a step back and just realize how great we are and what we bring to the table. And apparently we're pretty great if they are always trying to keep us from the polls, if they're always trying to keep us from doing what we need to do to elect the officials that we need for our community. So apparently we hold some type of power that they already know about and we just ain't tapped into yet. So we got to work on that. We got to work on how we bring Black joy and Black love and actually uplift each other in that, so that we can make sure, again, that we have the necessary resources and things that we need to get to the polls. So we gotta work on that. So we're going to start doing that now on a 365 basis, uplifting each other, letting each other know how much we matter and how much we matter to the process and how much we matter just in general. Like, we're pretty amazing. I'm pretty happy to say that.
Danielle, I wanna comment on that, because the day you mentioned the We Matter campaign in North Carolina, you know, of course you noticed I got excited, because that is one of the things that is really dear to my heart, that we, like Curtis just said, we reach out to people when they need instead of when we need. That has been one of the big issues with me as far as political parties go. They come into the black community when they need a vote. And it's normally only about 2 weeks before the election, no more than 2 weeks before the election, before people start coming into the community trying to get black people's votes. And that's just not, that has not been cutting it. And Black Voters Matter has found out that sharing love is a way to get into people, get into people, get people into the polls as well. So I'm just excited about being affiliated with Black Voters Matter. And since you are on the line, and since I see her on the line, Ms. Kim Harrington is on the line with Livingstone College. I'm sure she probably has a little bit about this, little to say about the way you guys have been coming through the college campuses and stuff like that. Kim, how you doing tonight?
Hi, hello everybody. Hi Danielle and Brothers For Real. First of all, I want to piggyback off what Curtis Gate was there, because I think it's the consistent engagement that makes this organization different. For you to be engaged with the community 365 is so different.
Correct.
It's like a whole different level. You've changed the rules of the game. It's like a Stacey Abrams level of involvement. Seriously, to be consistently engaged with us. And that sets you apart from other organizations that I see, the Get Out the Vote organizations. And also, I wanted to thank you for what you all did for Livingstone College. You had to speak people's language. And when you all came on campus and when the students found out, you know, everybody comes on campus and gives away free T-shirts. But to come on campus and give away free hoodies, all different sizes. The swag that you brought to campus. And you set up and you had parties and we were dancing. It was just like you made it a party. You made it an event. You spoke their language, and that's what it takes. And even now when you walk across campus, you still see people with Black Lives Matter hoodies on. And we did a video where we marched to the polls and everybody had on their hoodies. So I just
want
to thank you for this different approach that you're taking.
I want a hoodie.
We got
you. You don't have a hoodie, Rob, but I'm telling you.
She got you, Rob.
Danielle, will you get my big brother a hoodie?
You get a hoodie.
Well, we love it, and we are so grateful that, you know, we were allowed to be there and in that space, not just once, not twice, not three times. We were on there a couple times, so we were definitely excited to be on the campus and be a part of what you guys were doing just to uplift that work. I mean, we weren't doing anything but uplifting what you guys were already doing and giving folks a little bit more push to get there. And we're excited. Mm-hmm. We're not done yet. I've just been, you know, trying to get my feet wet and get back to work after being in Georgia for a month and some change. So, you know, it's definitely, I'm excited to be home and excited to be back where I know where folks are moving and shaking and doing that work. So we're not done yet. Yeah, we'll be back. We on our way.
Right quick, Danielle, tell us about the Georgia experience. Give us a little insight on the Georgia.
So, wow, Georgia, eventful, but so much fun. It was literally voting and GOTV and voter registration and everything all wrapped up in a big old bundle and said do it in 30 days, and we did it. So it was so amazing to see and be a part of. It was amazing to watch the organizations work together and do like a handoff. So you had your C3 folks out here and talking, you know, nonpartisan, getting people registered and things of that nature. Then they handed off the baton to folks that were in the C4 space that could give you a little bit more specifics about who was running and what they were doing. And then they handed it off the last 48 hours to our political action teams that were out and knocking on doors and reminding people, hey, we want to make sure y'all get to the polls. This is what we're talking about. This is who you're looking at. It's, you know, making sure that people knew where to go. It was amazing, absolutely amazing to be a part of such food giveaways that we were able to give people food over the holidays and see and be, and then be so grateful for it, but at the same time, giving them some political education on what was going on, being able to hand children toys and say Merry Christmas and giving it to them, you know, near or from the bus, because, you know, like I said, if anything, I would definitely remember getting a toy from a big old bus. Come on now. So being able to be a part of that, being a part of our Collard Green Caucus, and giving away thousands and thousands and thousands of bunches of collard greens for across the state, where we were able to purchase them from Black farmers and actually put some economic back into some Black farmers, but also feed our communities and uplifting our culture of collard greens and black eyed peas and cornbread. You know, it was amazing. And then intertwining it with all of the work that we were doing to get people to the polls. Black folks came out, they showed out, and they did exactly what we hoped for them to do, which was change the game. So now, we turned Georgia blue once, not once, but twice. We got to keep it blue and add some more blue around.
Absolutely. Beautiful. Talk to me about those collard greens right quick. But anyway, next time we'll be coming down here in collard greens season. But check this out.
We're working on it here. Don't worry about it. We're going to have it here in North Carolina.
I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let you go unless you guys have a question. Because I know Danielle has another meeting at 8, a Zoom. Isn't that right, Danielle?
Yes, aren't you going to be on it? Yay!
I'm sorry, remember. Anyway.
Yeah, I have to be on something at 8 too.
When those guys come to town, man, on the big bus, this is one of the requirements, that you take them somewhere to eat in an African-American facility. And if they're going to support something African-American when they come to your town, you know, it's just a beautiful experience. You guys are just amazing to me. So, thank you for what you're doing. Of course, you know, Anson County is a part of you. So we're going to do whatever. When you say jump, we say how high. And we're gonna keep it moving. You guys have any questions for Ms. Brown, man? I have one question that everybody's asking me, and I already know the answer. Are you and Latasha related?
So we do get that all the time. We know of biologically, no, but you know, when it's all said and done, we in love. They ain't going nowhere. So
I know that's right. Beautiful. So any questions around the table, guys? Otherwise, I'm gonna let this lady go.
I just have a comment. I just want to say thank you, Danielle, and for your availing yourself to us and the Marketing Pulpit and the Brothers For Real, and I'd like to comment you on your legendary efforts. They're all inspiring. Like you said, they're game-changing. I do have one question of a little more serious nature. How do I get one of those hoodies? Where are those? Is that something?
So, you know, that is a serious question. That you would be surprised how serious that really is. I got you on the hoodie, but I'm a little surprised, though, because somebody in Anson County had some. So
he lives in D.C.
Hey.
Leon,
you're holding back.
He lives in D.C.
Come on, Leon.
I haven't seen this dude since August 2017.
That's right. All right. So Leon gonna blame it on the pandemic. That's why he hadn't given it to me yet.
We worked really, really hard. I will say this: we worked really, really hard with the mail system to ensure that they kept moving. So I'm still gonna keep that blame on him. Yeah.
All right. I did work hard on that.
All right. I have a question, but I'll let Joseph go because I don't think he had said anything yet. If Joseph wanted to come in,
Joseph,
if not,
wake up. Go ahead.
Danielle.
Joseph in there cooking.
Okay, sister Danielle, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I guess my question is kind of like bringing it back to North Carolina. Did you, as far as the challenges are concerned and having the opportunity to work in Georgia and then also work in North Carolina, on a comparative note, is there some things that you think we can advise the people that we need to do here in North Carolina. Because recently I had started comparing Georgia and North Carolina, and to say somewhat that North Carolina needs to kind of like look at Georgia's lead to an extent, especially in how, you know, the election went. But, you know, there might be some things that you noticed in the two states that might be of value as we evaluate how we move forward in North Carolina.
Yeah, absolutely. We have here in North Carolina, y'all, we got all the pieces to do this. Like, we have all the pieces to do this. And I've been on multiple calls over the last couple of weeks with the same questions in regard. And I'm like, you know what, y'all, we got everything we need right here. We just got to tap into it and believe that we can do this and make this happen. When you talk about Georgia and North Carolina, two vastly different states have vastly different infrastructures and different issues. But at the same time, Georgia, I pair it to, they gave us hope. They gave us the hope that we needed to make sure that we can do this here in North Carolina. So I've been saying to folks left and right, look, we can do this. We got this. We got to tap into the power of our people that are here and that are working on the ground and work together, not in silos, and be okay with handing off the baton when it's somebody else's turn, and also be okay with saying, you know what, I'm great at voter registration. I'm amazing at voter registration, and that's what I'm going to do. So when it's time to pull up the get out to vote stuff, here it's your turn. Because I know you're great over here with get out to vote initiatives. So we have to work together and make it happen. But when it's all, we got it. We got this. Georgia did was give us hope.
I have one more. And this, I promise not to mention the hoodie this time. Danielle, now this is I look at how the power structure sways back and forth in this country, and what we have is these safe districts. We have these safe, like in the Congress and the House of Representatives, we have these safe districts, and so really the power kind of depends on who gets these neutral or these purple states or purple districts. Is there any way, considering now the Democrats have the House and the Senate and the White House, is there anything that can be done that you might be aware of, or might even recommend, how to break up some of these so-called safe districts that we have, these hardcore anti-American, unpatriotic representatives that seem to have a lifelong place in Congress because they're in a safe district? Is there anything that can be done about that?
Absolutely.
In other words, talking about gerrymandering.
Absolutely, y'all. Well, we have to, be a 365 conversation. That's where the change has to come. It can't be when it's time for it. It's got to be a 365 conversation, ongoing education, and that education has to make sense. So when we're talking about the Black community, we speak a different language. When you talk about the Black rural community, that's even more of a different language. So it's got to make sense. So when we're talking to folks and we're talking to them constantly on a 365 basis about the same thing over and over again, they're eventually going to be like, you know what? Let me be a part of this. Let me figure out how I can work within this and how I can talk to others about this. It has to be ongoing. We also have to dig into some of these other, we can't have just surface votes. We got to dig into some of these deep areas where we know that there's people there that just are not, that don't have the information, or it's not getting to them. We have to be the advocates for where the buck stops. We got to be the ones to say, you know what, we're going a little bit further. We're going a little bit deeper. If we master those things and master those relationships and conquer what is needed, we can do so much. We can break down so many barriers. When we talk about local elections, like we've got municipal elections coming up throughout the state of North Carolina. When we talk about that, it's important for people to understand that we need to challenge some of these folks. And I know a lot of people are like, hey, well, we can't get anybody to run. But y'all, we got to challenge some of these folks. We don't. Some of these people don't even have enough respect for us as voters to go out here and get new yard signs. You don't have the same yard sign for 20 to 30 years. You don't even look the same. So you need to spend a little bit more money. You need to have a little bit more respect for the people that you want to elect you in. So this year, we're challenging those folks, and we're saying, hey, look, no more. We're actually bringing people to the table that says, you know what, we're running, and we're going to run. Even if we lose, even if we lose this election or don't get the results that we want, we built a momentum that you know my name, and I made you work for it.
That's right. We have to expand. We have to expand the playing field, and I think Georgia gives us hope that nobody is safe anymore. Nobody.
Exactly.
Leon and Danielle, I have two other things, and I'm finished. One being the concept of rebuild a village, which it sounds like what you were saying early on. You're talking about love and connecting the dots and getting people, you know, to first know that they care. And so one of the things that we've done, especially with Justice Administration, Stop Killing Us, and things that where I'm working. We are trying to be a part of that 365-day love and try to reactivate the village that raised a lot of us, especially if you were probably born after or before 1960 or during that time, you saw a village. And there's been somewhat of a deterioration of that love village in the black community. And I think once we can try to do more to reactivate that village was the thing that helped to bring people the news. We didn't depend on the internet. We didn't depend on CNN or the Fox to tell us the news. But we could, you know, have those relationships where everybody cared about the child across the street in the house or wherever that child may live. So I think that's one of the things that, you know, the rebuilding of the village thing. And, you know, maybe you can tell me more about what you think about it. And then secondly, I know we talked on this show the other night, and I was saying one of the things that I think that seemed to be somewhat of a problem for us in the African-American community is I think we have not done a good enough job, especially those of us who are in the ministry, those of us who are a part of the leadership at connecting the dots of where the votes meet with the needs of the community. We hear people talking about the need for, you know, to address mass incarceration, to deal with police misconduct, to deal with issues of, you know, healthcare and other issues. And I don't know if we are doing enough to let people know how many of those issues can be addressed through the ballot. So I was just saying, number one, do you see that as maybe something that we probably could do better? And number two, rebuilding the village. What do you think?
I believe that it's all of the above. We definitely need all of the above. And we also have to understand, too, that, you know, I'm tired. I'm tired. I go to bed at night, and when I crash, I'm exhausted. But that is because we need more folks doing this work. We need to be able share our expertise to other folks and get them to bring them in to do this work and trust them enough to do this work. So, and when we talk about rebuilding that village, that goes back again to our whole We Matter campaign, checking on your brothers and your sisters, just making sure are you okay? You know, COVID brought out a lot of folks, a lot of that togetherness, but we quickly started going back into the quote-unquote norm once, you know, things let up a little bit. But we need to definitely make sure people are okay. When we talk about, you know, feeding the community, you know, if we have, you know, we're feeding the community every single week, then that obviously means that we have a deficit somewhere. So how do we change policy and change our thought processes overall to be able to have sustainable economics within our community? That all goes back to that village. That all goes back to that ongoing conversation that we have to have. We've got to learn to support each other. This is not going to happen overnight. This is not going to be something that we're going to wake up tomorrow and everybody, you know, the village is back. But this is something that we can start just locally and just saying, hey, look, you know what? We just wanted to make sure you were okay. We're not, no strings attached, nothing. We're not asking you for anything. We're not asking you to, you know, to do anything, because it's a trickle effect. Because once people start seeing, you know what, they really came out and they checked on me, daggone, let me go check on my neighbor and make sure they okay. Let me go check my person across the street and make sure they okay. Wow. It becomes a trickle effect. I don't know many communities where you can borrow a cup of sugar right now, because everyone is so distrusting of each other. We have got to build that back up to where we have a trust just simply in each other before we can even remotely have a trust in our political system.
No, you can't borrow much sugar now. Oh, you're right, Danielle. Look, guys, let's give Danielle a big hand. Danielle, please keep your phone line open for us. Please, if you take your hand here. We're going to give you a break now. Let's get ready for your next meeting. God bless you, and I will see you on the other side, all right?
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Thank you always for having me. I appreciate you.
Thank you so very
man.
Much.
Yes, it's been a pleasure, Sister Danielle. Please be safe in
your
travels.
You. Thank you. Thank
you. All right. When we come back, we're going to finish beating up the Super Bowl, but we're going to be right back, okay, guys? Going to take a quick break, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to the Brother Faria Radio Show. Thank you, Danielle Brown. The number to call is 215-383-3872. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Welcome back, brothers. How you doing this time, guys? How you doing? You boys still there?
Doing great, man. I was going to let somebody else say something. Yeah, I'm doing great, brother. You're doing great. Enjoyed the conversation.
Yes,
enjoyed Sister Danielle Brown, the Black Voters Matter. In fact, Black Voters Matter.
Welcome back,
brothers.
So, how you doing this time, guys?
Hey, man, what's going on? Did that record it?
Don't start me down, man. But anyway,
yep.
One of the things I want to discuss tonight was, you know, between the brothers here about this this impeachment trial, this impeachment thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really call it a trial because I just call it an impeachment presentation because the Republicans, here's the catch with that. They can't convict Trump because they're in the same boat with him. I mean,
man, let me tell you something, Leon. I've been watching some of the presentations from the management council, whatever they refer to, the Democrats presenting the video and actual witnesses, people who were basically, in fact, using the own words of the president, using their own actions of the insurgents, you know, and I'm just looking. And Leon, this is really, it shouldn't even come to this. It shouldn't even be a question. It shouldn't even, every time I see something, it's just like, it's not even a case. It's not even a debate.
Right.
This man should be in prison. You know, to say impeachment is too minimal of a thing. And you would not think that they're having to go through all these presentations showing the obvious. I mean, they're going back, showing his words, showing how he knew about some of these. He had some of his own administration viewing some of these websites where these people are planning and plotting this murder and this insurgence. And, you know, it's just, and his words, it's just clear. He kept saying some of this stuff, and he saw people actually taking it literally and violently. He saw it happening. He saw it over and over again and did not let up. And, you know, it's really criminal for the Republican Party to sit over there and act as if, you know, this is just about he has already left office and, you know, there's nothing for us to do here. They need to say right away, this man, we're going to charge him with everything we can. Impeachment or being removed by the voters is not enough. We need to make sure you never even consider running for office. We want to make sure you understand that not only are we going to speak here, but we want to take this to the next level. Wherever we can prosecute you to fully extend the law, we will. But to act as if this is just something where, you know, he just made a speech and his time has been spent, it's really sickening to me.
Yes, it's depressing.
Well, what you need to do. Hey, Leon Curtis.
Yeah, man.
Yes, sir.
What they need to do is what one of Trump's lawyers said. One of Trump's lawyers said, well, if he's guilty, what you all say is guilty of, what you're supposed to do is go arrest him. And then Trump went mad because he was mad. Because, you know, Trump, you know, he got some Calhoun to a lawyer. Lawyer to Calhoun. And yeah, that's what one of Trump's lawyers said. Said the impeachment was the Senate hearing was not the place for somebody who has tried to incite a riot and throw away and overthrow the government. He said that should be a criminal charge. He said that in Trump's defense.
I think it should be all of the above. I think they should have impeached him. They should have, you know, prosecuted him through that process and then take him to the criminal process. Because if you don't use impeachment or to every extent that you can, including the prosecution part of it and making sure you no longer can run for office and everything else that you can do, then, you know, I don't ever see a need to ever have it again. They don't need the impeachment process. If you can't do this, you know, if this doesn't call for everything you have that you can do, every piece of power within your reach to make sure this person is punished, you know, if you don't use it for this, then, like I said, they don't need it anymore as far as I'm concerned.
The thing about it is, he can still face charges. The Justice Department can still open an investigation into it. And I'm not so sure that they're not going to do it.
You know, the state of Georgia has already. They've already opened up an investigation of criminal charges.
But everything he can get, he should be receiving it on the punishment end, whether it's impeachment, whether it's prosecution through impeachment, whether it's prosecution through the Justice Department, whether it's being arrested criminally. Everything that can happen should be happening right now. Because I get sick of seeing the videos. It makes me sick when I watch. You know,
yeah.
It's just sickening.
It's a sickening thing, especially for these people, the so-called people, to pretend that they are calling themselves patriots.
Exactly.
And, you know, you're a patriot, you don't overthrow your own government if you're a patriot.
Right.
Here's what I couldn't help but think about, guys, watching that. I was thinking about John Lewis and Dr. King them when they went to that Pettus Bridge. Now, they were attacked by the law. I mean, they were attacked by the police.
Yeah. Man, there's just been so many people killed for no reason, black folk, and have this mess that we're looking at now. It's just sickening. It's sickening to me. I mean, black folk have just been killed, arrested. I've been arrested 20 times.
You've been arrested 20 times.
And we ain't done nothing. All for protesting injustices. We use truth.
We were basing what we stood for on truth, and we will continue to. They were out there based on lies. That is exactly what you incite riots with, generating anger through miseducation and lies. I mean, at least if we were angry, we had justification for being angry. You just killed somebody right there for no justification. You just, you know, denied somebody, or you have people living in carbon monoxide poison, or you're doing these things where you're denying people health care, and the money is there. Those are real issues, and they're based on truth. These people went out here and tore up the killing police and everything else based on outright lies. The whole world knew. This wasn't even a close election. It would have been one thing if we're close. It wasn't even a close election.
It wasn't even close. Anytime you lose anything by 7 million, by 7 million votes, I don't care what you're running for. You can be running for the president of the whole universe. You lose
exactly.
7 million votes.
That's a lot of votes. You can't act like you won. And to know that we have people this gullible in their minds is a scary thing. For people to be that gullible.
You know, it's like one reporter said, he got trounced. He got trounced in the Electoral College. What, 306 divided 236 or something, 230? I mean, he got trounced
like
in the Electoral College and lost the popular vote.
And lost the popular vote. That's the first time that hadn't happened in a long time. Nobody's gotten beat by 7 million votes. All these elections have been pretty much close, and usually the Electoral College would be basically the one that might, you know, determine the story because of the way the Electoral College has been set up.
We won by a landslide. They stole
it
from us.
Nowhere he won. Nowhere.
Well, you know,
he
3 million votes.
So what?
He lost to Hillary Clinton
and by 3 million, exactly.
He won the Electoral College. He lost there by 3 million votes, so he has never gotten the majority of the population.
Yeah, he's never won. Now, Hillary them had to fight, Jordan, Hillary, and all them. Now, if they wanted to fight, they had a reason to fight.
Right.
They had a reason. They had a reason, yeah.
You know, but everybody, the difference is those other people, you know, people like Al Gore and Hillary Clinton and even Mitt Romney and John McCain. I mean, these people believe in the institution. And even though when things don't go their way, they still believe in the institution, and they're not going to do anything that would jeopardize the union that Abraham Lincoln led a war against insurrectionists and ended up costing the lives of over 635,000 Americans and another 1 million mutilated and maimed. And so the people that believe in the institution, the people that believe in the government, even, say, for example, Al Gore, if he had called for all his supporters to attack the Capitol, it would have been more justified. If Hillary Clinton, you know, after she won the popular vote by 7 million votes, it would have been justified. It wouldn't have been justified, but would have been more of a case than what Donald Trump
right.
had. You had lost the Electoral College, and you lost the popular vote by $7 million. And of course, and they keep talking about election fraud, but they can't prove it. You just can't say something. You just can't
Trump
say
is
somebody.
The only election. Trump is the election fraud. Trump is the fraud. That's the fraud. Trump.
Yeah.
Donald Trump.
That would be like Joseph. Yeah.
Those,
huh?
That
would be like me saying your TV went out while you're watching the Super Bowl because you threw a steak at it, and I can't prove it.
And you can't prove it.
Ain't that right?
They're not, and you can't find a steak at my house. only place you found a steak is you X-ray my belly, and the steak is in there.
Wow! You wouldn't find one here if you X-ray my belly. But that's good. At least you got one in your belly.
And after you x-rayed my belly, you saw the steak in there, you still saying he threw the steak at the television.
Exactly.
I might have more than one steak.
What's that? Is, the Super Bowl. Yeah, I appreciate you guys working with me on that. So next time, y'all are not going to watch it. A, not going to watch it, or B, I'm not going to throw some marshmallows. And I'm going to throw something at it that's near me. If it turns out.
With me, it was a sad experience on one hand, but it was a rapturing experience on the other hand. I was sad to see my boy Mahomes, you know, not being able to perform. Because really, he didn't have any help at all.
Those brothers that I just thought were monsters. These jokers, I have not seen anybody play with that kind of enthusiasm in a long time.
You talking about them boys at Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
Yeah, them boys came to play.
I'm like, good googly moogly.
They ran Paul of Mahomes around all night long. And he already had a hurt toe, and he was hopping and running at the same time. And them big old brothers going.
Mahomes was throwing the ball while he was in flight. And he could still get it down into the end zone. And the players were missing it. That was just.
He got it within catching distance.
It was terrible.
But I think the bigger problem was them boys, after those receivers, saw the way he was cornered. They just probably were thinking in their mind, there's no way he can get this ball off. And they just weren't prepared to catch it.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking.
They knew he wasn't going to get it off because they knew they had agreed they were going to let the men back there to kill him. So they knew he was not supposed to get it down.
Because them boys, he did not. It was just like there was no offensive line out there at all. He didn't, obviously not one time he had a good clean pass where he was either hurried, knocked down, or chased out of bounds on every play.
Every play.
Yeah. Every play. I didn't see not one time where he had an opportunity to stand back there and throw a good, clean, easy pass.
It was terrible, man.
It was terrible. I mean, even though I'm glad my boy from North Carolina Central, we'll be up there looking at that Super Bowl ring during football season, you know, coming this year. I'm glad they got that and all, but I still don't like the way that game went down.
Do you know where football, you know when your homecoming is yet?
It's always the last weekend in October or the first weekend in November.
Oh, cool. I was about the second weekend in October this year.
Y'all what?
I was the second weekend in October.
Okay, so there won't be a conflict this year.
Right, that'd be good. We'll be able to come up there and look at that ring, boy.
Yeah, come up there and look at that ring, man. You know,
we'll come down and rub that ring.
I know we never had a Super Bowl ring in North Carolina Central before.
Is that right?
Yeah.
After all these years, are you serious?
I don't know. I mean, I never read it. I was one of them quick boys went on the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't wait. If they'd had one, they never said anything about it.
Wow.
I know we hadn't had one in the modern era, put it that way. Because, you know, back in the day, you know, that's where all the star African-American athletes came from, HBCUs. Because in my senior year at North Carolina Central in 72, we sent more players to the NFL than any other school in North Carolina.
Right.
We sent 12 players to the NFL in 1972, my freshman year.
12 players.
12.
All right.
We had some beasts on that team, buddy. I mean, some beasts.
Beasts.
Boys could play. Them boys could flat out play.
I'm gonna go on NFL strike again, especially since there are no more games for another year or so. I'm gonna go on NFL strike again, like I did last time.
I ain't watching another NFL game until August.
You're a strong man to be able to do that, though. Let me tell everybody this right quick, Joseph. We have we have our 5K coming up on May the 8th. We're going to have a virtual as well as an in-person 5K, so you'll be able to, if you're afraid to come out or if COVID is still out there, I'll be afraid too. But if in the event that COVID is still around, we're going to have a virtual 5K. You can go to go to our website at www.holla.ws to register. If not today, it should be up there by tomorrow. Of course, it's also on our Facebook page, Holla's Facebook page. This is our primary fundraiser for the year. So all of us who will sign up and join the fund, we would certainly appreciate it. I think it's $20 to register, whether it's virtual or in person. Of course, we are also looking for sponsors, Gatewood Insurance. We're always looking for sponsors for our events of this nature. So just wanted to spread the word. We're looking forward to having a big time. And as Ms. Danielle Brown said, we matter. So check on your neighbors, guys. Check on each other. Check on your kids.
Leon.
Yes, sir.
Leon, I have one question.
Yes, sir.
What are you going to do, run around in the house with your virtual 5K?
You can do that. Yeah, you can do that. You can do that. Or you can run around the house. You can run around the dock. You can get on your treadmill. You can walk to the store. You can ride your horse. Whatever, you know.
Ride your horse don't count, man.
Yeah.
Ride your horse don't count. You're not actually running. The horse get the credit for that.
Sign him up. we see a registration for silver. We don't know what happened. We know it's a hope. What's Matt Dillon's horse name?
Matt Dillon's horse don't think he had no name.
I don't think his horse had a name.
I don't think his name was Chester.
Yeah, I was watching the other day. The title of the show said the murder of Chester. Did Chester get killed on the show, man? You watch a lot of Matt Dillon.
You know, that's probably one of the things where they thought he was dead and he wasn't dead.
Oh, yeah, old Doc.
You
know. Old Doc touched him.
Yeah, you know the main players don't ever die, man. You know, I used to watch this the comeback. You remember comeback used to come on?
Yeah. You
know, them people got that. That's a fight, boy. Vic Morrow, you know, he was, they had that core of main player. And I remember back then, said, I wouldn't mind going to the Army if I could be a main player.
No, that's right. They don't ever die, dude.
No, main players don't die, man. And every time you see a movie like that, if you see a Negro on there, you know the Negro is going to die.
Danielle Brown on her next meeting. I done got her tune in up on her next meeting. Well, look, Mullion, Joseph, looks like, let's see if Robert's still over there. Robert, you still over there, man? Let me say goodbye to you, man. You guys have a good night.
Hey, man.
We're going to get out of here. I'm going to click on over here to next meeting with Ms. Danielle Brown and the North Carolina Black Voters Matter crew. We're going to get some things done, man. We keep it going. 365, guys. 365.
Keep it going.
Yeah,
keep it going.
That's a
good look. All
right,
man.
Bro.
Y'all hold it down,
buddy. All right, Robert. We out of here, man. You guys have a good night.
Hi, bro.
Hey, yeah. Mike from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Nice.
Go Eagles. Give a big shout out to Ryan Smith for the North Carolina Central University. He got his Super Bowl ring.
Hey, Bob, have a good night.
Hi, man. I'm out.